last week. So I had skipped over a lot of this, about a full as we're going through it, so I could do it all at one time. I started last week with these notes and just deciding to go over with a full in the book of Proverbs. And as I got looking at it and looking at my notes, I just wanted y'all to make sure that you had this. So I thought, laying this out, because there's an importance here of not being a fool and not raising a fool. And there's so many verses about a fool in the book of Proverbs and foolishness and folly that it's easy to overlook it. It's easy to not get it compiled in a way to where it's easier to understand. But the point is, first of all, is you don't need to be a fool. You shouldn't be a fool. And if you're a fool, there's consequences to it. And then the second thing is you shouldn't raise a fool. You need to raise a wise man. There's a lot of adults and a lot of parents that have to deal with the fact that they raised a fool, and then now they're reaping what they've sown, and they didn't realize how important it was, and they didn't even realize what being a fool was. And so what I wanted to do was lay this out for you in a way where you can see it, and hopefully you can see the importance of it. You see the importance of it. And sometimes, looking at it with something like this right here, it'll let it click better for you and make it different. It's amazing how you can look over something and you can see something at times, but then what will end up happening is somebody will say something, or they'll give you a key word, or they'll say it a different way, and I don't know what it is, but the light comes on. The other night, Brother Dill was preaching about contentment, godly contentment and ungodly contentment. And he went over there to Revelation chapter 3, and I've read that passage over and over and over. But when he took that thing in Revelation 3 and connected it with Esau over there about an ungodly contentment, Esau saying, I have enough, and he don't have no problem. And I get thinking about all the Christians and myself as well, as when life's good, life's going on, and I'm just really not excited about the things of God. Calling it ungodly contentment and connecting that thing right there, it just can't, a lot came on different. I thought about it all week. It's amazing. So hopefully what can happen is you can see this laid out, and maybe you'll understand the importance of you not being a fool, but even more importantly, of not raising a fool. Now last week we looked at what produces a fool, and those are those seven omissions there. A fool's missing seven things. He's got a lack of the fear of God, and he's got a lack of wisdom, he has a lack of knowledge, he has a lack of understanding, he has a lack of instruction, he has a lack of prudence, he has a lack of punishment. And there's the references there in Proverbs. You can see we went over all those last week, but what I added to it from last week is a remedy. There's a remedy for that. The book of Proverbs gives it. So when you look about number one there, it's the lack of the fear of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 8 through 10. We won't take time to look there because we've got a lot to go through, but you're going to see it's Bible teaching. It's teaching the Bible. It's learning the Bible by teaching. And you have to have that. If you want the fear of God in your life, if you don't have the fear of God right now, you need some Bible teaching. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 there, if you go look at those references when you get a chance, what you're going to see is that a king took over. When he took over, he got the priests back involved. He got the Levites back involved. He got the book back involved. He said, then went out and he began to teach those things. And what happened was it produced the fear of God in people's lives. And the problem is, the reason people don't have a fear of God is they don't get in the Bible. They don't see enough of it. They don't understand enough of it. They don't even know how to connect it with their life. And so the problem is Bible teaching. You want your child to have a fear of God, you better get them in the Bible. You better teach them the Word of God. And first off, that responsibility goes to the parent. That's what a parent's job is to do, is to teach the kids the Bible. The second thing is in Proverbs chapter 2. Look over there, since we're in Proverbs 2. Look at verse 5. Well, let's start with verse 1. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. All right. If you'll receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So it comes from his words, verse 1, and his commandments. So he says, hide my commandments with thee. So what does that mean? That means you need some Bible teaching, first of all, and you need some Bible memorization. You need to start memorizing some scriptures. You need to know some verses, and you need to just get as much as you can. And if you get as much as you can, the Holy Spirit's got a lot to work with, and you're getting ready to do something you shouldn't do, and the Bible begins to come back in your head, or somebody will come and ask you a question or ask you to do something, this stuff will pop in your head, and you'll sit there, and the Lord will use it. He'll, the Holy Spirit will bring it back, and so what does it do? You'll sit there and think, you know what? That right there, if I do that, there's some trouble coming my way. I'm going to have some punishment, or I can get in trouble over doing something like that. And then look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, verse 33. Proverbs 15, 33. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So what he's saying here, that the fear of the Lord, he says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And so you've got to have some instruction. As a parent, you've got to give some instruction to your children. There's some times when things come out that somebody else may have fallen with some type of sin, or they got into some mess or something like that, and the child finds out about it. That's a good opportunity to sit down and begin to instruct them, and instruct them with wisdom. And say, why? Because they need to fear God. They need to be able to look at consequences and learn when someone else falls. And there's a chance there that they can turn bad and they can look down at somebody else's problems. And I'm not here to make light of what this person's going through. We need to pray for that person. But here's some instruction you can get from it. Take some instruction, apply it to their life, things that they're going through, apply it to your own life. So what produces a fool is a lack of the fear of God. This is how you get it. Bible teaching, Bible memorization, instruction of wisdom. If you've got a lack of wisdom, what do you need? You need to be a doer of the word. If you'll start being a doer of the word, just being a doer of the word and doing what God says, you'll begin to get wisdom, according to Deuteronomy 4:6. You get wisdom by asking God. Just asking the Lord for it. We went through that when we first started the book of Proverbs. If you're lacking wisdom, you just need to ask the Lord. He gives liberally and upbraideth not. Here we are down in, we're at all the way to Proverbs 26. We've been doing this for almost 9 months or something. Your prayer life, are you still asking the Lord for wisdom? Wisdom how to deal with your children. Wisdom how to deal with your problems at work. Wisdom on how to deal with your money. Praying for wisdom, because if you're not, then you're going to use your money like a fool does. That's the way it works. You've got to have that wisdom. So wisdom comes from being a doer of the word. It comes from asking God. It comes from applying it to your heart, applying your heart to it. What does that mean? Application. Applying your heart to something. That means that you're focused on it. That means that you're given to it. You sit down and you begin to look at wisdom, and it's on your mind. It's on your thoughts, your heart. You're applying yourself to wisdom. You're giving it the attention of time and effort, and you're working towards something. That's applying your heart to something. Again, the fear of the Lord brings wisdom. God gives wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 1:1-7, the book of Proverbs, gives wisdom. And if a man lacks wisdom, there's absolutely no reason, there's no excuse. He's not going to be able to get there and say, God, I just didn't have wisdom. I just wasn't as smart as everybody else, Lord. Look at all the stuff God's done to give you the opportunity to have wisdom. There's no excuse to not have wisdom. There's no excuse to be ignorant. There's no excuse to be simple-minded. And God gives it to you. Lack of knowledge. How do you get knowledge? Again, asking the Lord. Applying your heart to that. Applying your heart to knowledge. Again, I told you, there's four places, four things in the Bible that God tells you to apply yourself to. There's just four. Four of them. One of them is wisdom, one of them is knowledge, one of them is understanding, and one of them is instruction. There's four places in the Bible, four things he says to apply your heart to, you apply yourself to, and it's those things right there. So if you want knowledge, you're going to have to apply your heart to it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's Proverbs 1:7. Again, God gives knowledge. Instruction. You get knowledge from instruction. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 11, the Bible says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So you get that knowledge once you see something and you're made wise of something. Then when instruction comes with it, you receive knowledge. And so you get that instruction. You get instruction from the Word of God. But again, you also get instruction from your parents. It's your responsibility to instruct your children. You think about going to school. We make sure that our kids are instructed with education. Make sure they know how to read and write, know how to add. They need to know those types of things. There's no question on whether or not you're going to send your kid to school. I mean, it's just there. It's a good thing. You're teaching your child, and they need to learn those things. But yet, when it comes to church or Sunday school, it's like there's a question. Where are we going to go this week? Are we going to go to church this week? Are you kidding? Do you see the importance? Do you know it's not a fool? I mean, we go out of our way. We're worried about SATs. We're worried about an AT score, ACT score. What did your child make on the ACT? What did your child make on the SAT? I don't even know what all that stuff is. But it's a big test. It's got something to do with college. And if it gets high, you get a bunch of money. So I just knew it needed to be a high score. And so you have those things, and you're worried about those things. And it's something that you need to be worried about. But that same desire and that same thought process that we have with making sure our children are educated, we should have the same one with a Bible education. And we look at it like it's just one of those things like, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? That's just bringing, well, I don't know, we're going to go to church and say, well, you know, they got that youth meeting down there this week. I'm just tired. But we'll go sit at a football game and it's 10 below zero and we've got covers all over us. And it goes into overtime, and we're still sitting there. Or we'll go to a ball game on one night and turn around the next night and go to another ball game. I've done it this week. And I get excited. I get excited, and I yell and scream. I'm happy if we're winning. And I'm yelling at the refs if we're losing. And I get excited about it. But I also got to get excited about the Word of God. And I ought to be excited about my kids. The other night at the ball game, that's their senior night, and Julia was playing ball. So we went home, and we're sitting there, and we're doing our family devotion at night, and we're reading. And I looked at her, and I said, who wants to pray? And we said, I'll pray. She began to pray, and we prayed about just a blessing. What they want to bless them. Just a blessing that they know the Lord, and that they can go enjoy something and give God the credit for it. And just thankful to the Lord for His grace. And if you're not teaching your kids that stuff, they're not going to get it. They're not going to know that stuff. I mean, there's so many Sunday school teachers here that I could go on and on and on about my kids, about, well, Brother Gary Fixon, he was in our teenage class, and he said this right here. My older daughter said the same thing, she said this right here. And I'm like, man, thank God. God, that somebody's doing that, because some of that stuff I don't know how to talk to them about. I don't know how to deal with those young girls. You don't get your kids in church, and then they turn out different in your life. What were you thinking? What are you thinking? It's just practical. It's just if you want something, there's got to be some instruction. That's what we're talking about. The instruction. The Book of Proverbs gives you knowledge. Lack of understanding, again, just being a doer of the word, asking God, again. So you have a tough time praying. There's three things right there that you need to pray for: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Apply your heart to it. The fear of the Lord gives you understanding. God gives understanding. The rod gives understanding. Reproof gives understanding. Not just the rod. I mean, you've got to have the rod, but also reproof. What is reproof? Reproof is sometimes you're speaking to your sister. Sometimes you're telling them they're wrong. Look, this is what you're doing, and this isn't wrong. This is what you need to do. Sometimes it's just reproof, and reproof gives understanding. The Book of Proverbs gives understanding, and again, instruction gives understanding. Lack of instruction, what do you need? You need to apply your heart to it. You need to fear the Lord. The Book of Proverbs. Parents are supposed to give instruction, and considering what you see. Proverbs 24, he said, I went by the, he goes by there and he looks at this house that's broken down, and he got, under, and he got some instruction. He said, I considered it, and I received instruction. You look at lives that's going on, you look at stuff that's going on in the world, and you get instruction from that. So that gives you, that'll help you not be a fool. A lack of prudence. Prudence comes from getting knowledge, from getting wisdom, from getting understanding. So you have a lack of prudence, then if you go up there with lack of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you'll put those things in your life, then you'll become prudent. You'll love reproof. The other thing is a lack of punishment. Child grows up and don't have any punishment at all. And he's going to be a fool. That's what the Bible says. It says, foolishness is bound the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs chapter 22. You know what they've got to have? They've got to have the rod. So what produces a fool is a lack of those things right there. Those things right there. Lack of the fear of God, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, instruction, prudence, and punishment. And they need all those things. If you'll put all those things in child, then what's going to happen is this is going to weak. We talked about what is the effect on parents if they beget a fool. You see those things down there. We won't go over them. But Proverbs 17:21 says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. So it's up to you to decide how you're going to raise your child. You're going to give them to not be a fool, or are you going to let them be a fool? 23:24 says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Have joy of him. All right, so flip that over. What's the characteristics? The characteristics of a fool. Here's the characteristics. They're liars. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. If you want to see a fool, here's what a fool's going to look like when you see them. They're going to be a liar. Proverbs 10, 18. They're going to make light of sin. It's just going to be a joke for them. It's not going to be that big a deal. And you can see people today, you see adults, you can see kids, it's just not that big a deal. Sin's not that big a deal. You can see what they watch on TV, and you see what they do. You see how they talk. You can see how they dress. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin, and they make a lot of sin, and they justify sin in their life. And a lot of times they'll even try to act like the Lord's okay with things, and he's not okay with it. And they'll get to where it's messed up their mind, and they think that it is. And God looks at it, and God's not for it. And they just make a lot of sin. Being proud. Being proud. That's what a fool's going to be. He's going to be proud. He's going to have pride. And you're not going to be able to talk to him. You're not going to be able to instruct them on anything. They've got all the answers. I don't know how many teachers are in here, but you start going through this thing right here, and you're going to sit there, and I'm sure there's going to be names start popping in your head because you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, this kid's like that, this kid's like that. And you know what the problem is? The parents never kept them from being a fool. And this is what ends up happening with them. They're liars. They think it's funny. They think things are funny. They think seeing is funny. They're proud. You can't talk to them. You can't instruct them. You can't just sit down and have a normal conversation with them. They're ignorant to common sense. And that's what happens. Proverbs 14:16, a fool. You know what they have? They've got rage. They're right on the edge. They're just, you know, boiling point 212 degrees Fahrenheit, and it seems like they're at 210, 211, and it don't take anything. And they're just, boom, and you're just like, they're just volatile like that. And you're like, man, what is wrong with this? What is wrong with this child? He just got angry at this kid. Yeah. You know why? Because America's raised a generation of fools. And they're just, boom. They're off like that. And if we don't watch it as Christians, we can be like that. Are you like that? Are you just quick to just lose your temper? Because the Bible says that they rage it, and they're confident. They're headstrong, and they're going in. They don't care about anything that's going to happen. They don't care about the consequences. They don't care about what's going to happen. And they lose it, and they're in a rage. They're in a rage. Proverbs 18:6, they're unstable. They're hot-tempered. Same thing there. They're just hot-tempered. They're unstable. They can't control themselves. They get mad. I mean, you can see kids today in America, and they're so frustrated at times. You can see them. You can see them shake. And you sit here and begin to talk to them, and you realize what? They don't have fear of God. And wisdom. No knowledge, no understanding, they don't get instruction, they're not prudent at all. And you begin to sit here and say, wait a second. We went over that first section up there. This is what produces a fool. Now you see what a fool does, and you see how important it is to make sure those things are in your children. They're broke. You know why they're broke? Because they have no sense of knowing how to save anything. They have no sense of money. They have no sense of finances. They don't understand, if I don't get this, if I don't save this, I'm going to have a problem later on, and then I'm not going to have money to fix it. Well, something will just work out. That's a fool for you. That's a fool for you. They spend it up. They spend up their money. That's in Proverbs 21:20. And they're perverse. Proverbs chapter 19. They're perverse. What does that mean? Perverted. We look at it in terms of the sexual way, and that is perverted. But it's just a lack of integrity. There's a lack of integrity. And the Bible says there in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. You'll see somebody, they'll look at an opportunity and to do something wrong, and maybe they'll get $150. Maybe they'll get $250. Maybe they'll cheat somebody out of something, or say, well, if I say it this way, then, to my insurance company, then I won't have to pay this much. And it's like, well, whatever, but, say $250, is your integrity worth $250? We just think about how we look at things as what all insurance companies do, and they're rip off you, letting you out to spend your money, and, whatever, but how much is your integrity worth? How much is it worth? He says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips. He's a fool. They're pervert. What they do, they pervert the truth. Look at verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart spreadeth against the Lord. And he talks about having, being in the right way, walking the right way, and if you've got foolishness, you know what it's going to do? It's going to pervert your way. You see young children, and you look, and they constantly make the wrong choice. Every time it comes up, every opportunity they have to make the right decision for the day and to do the right thing, it seems like they just make the wrong choice. You make the right choices. You make the right choices because those choices there are going to pervert your way. So a fool, they're perversing their way because of their foolishness. Their foolishness gets them to do that. They're engaged in strife in Proverbs chapter 20. They're just constantly, they're strifing their life. They're mad at somebody, or somebody's done them wrong, or they're frustrated with someone, or they're going to tell this person off, or this person done my child wrong, or I just don't like the way they run this place, and I'm tired of the way they do me, and I'm tired of what's going on, and then they get fixed with that person, and they're mad at this person over here, and they got that problem going. They're strife their life. They go home and argue with their spouse, or they're arguing with their children, and they get frustrated and yell and scream. Say, what is it? Just a bunch of fools. Just a bunch of fools. They don't have any sense. They can't. There's nothing to sit around and think, you see them in Walmart. The family just arguing and yelling and screaming at each other. And there's no sense of, common sense of just thinking, this is embarrassing. I don't need to act like this. It's not fair. You say, what is it? America is full of fool, F-U-L-L, of fool, F-O-O-L-L, F-O-O-L-L. The full of it. They're ignorant about life. Proverbs chapter 24:7. They're simple-minded. I mean, they have no thought process. Someone will tell you, they'll begin to talk to you about the Word of God. Talk to some young people about the Word of God, and then up to the marriage, boys and girls, and talk about a family and how important it is to have a good home and what you got to do to have a good home those types of things. And they're so simple-minded. They'll listen to somebody else say something, and they don't look at that person. They don't look at what that person's life's like. I mean, I remember going through this one other time talking about the Beatles. The Beatles talking about, talking about a revolution, and talking about loving everybody, and getting, talking about everybody getting together, and this is the way a country needs to be ran, and this is how, this type of stuff, just like they do today. And they couldn't even keep their band together over 3 years. They couldn't even get along with each other, and they're going to tell us how to get along. You say, what is it? People's not, they're simple-minded. They don't even see that type of stuff. Oh, yeah, the Beatles, man. We need a revolution. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, look around. They can't even, They can't hold their marriage together. They can't keep their band together. And they're going to tell me when I've got this book and God says, this is what you got to do. And then they make fun of Jesus Christ. And people just look at it like, yeah. And they think that they're right. And they live their life like that. And ends up a wreck. And they're like, what happened? I don't know what happened. The same thing happened to John Lennon. That's what happened. Proverbs 10:14. What does a fool do? He's always flirting. Look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. He's always flirting with disaster. A fool is just right on the edge. They're just, they may think something's wrong, and they may think it's a bad, and they're going to try it anyway. They're going to be right there on the edge. If a problem's going to happen 12 feet away from the spot, then they'll be at 11 feet 6 inches. And they're like right there. If the teacher says, hey, don't get over there, and don't go past that line right over there. You'll see three or four of them that's just idiots, and they'll walk right over there, and they'll go, I'm not over there. You just want to go slap them. It's just, what is your problem? They're a fool. They're just right on the edge. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 14. It says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. They're just right on the edge. Well, how much do you drunk? It's just 0.09. It's just like, what do you think? And they constantly, they think that way. They think that way. They're near destruction. They're always on the edge. They're flirting with disaster all the time. Proverbs 14:1. They're home wrecking. They'll mess a home up. They have an unbridled tongue. Proverbs chapter 18. They've got an unbridled tongue. So that's the characteristics of a fool. Why shouldn't you raise a fool? Because there's a price. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 16. The Bible says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, and you have no heart to it? If you raise a fool, there's a price to it. Or you become a fool, there's a price to it. You're going to deal with it. You're going to have problems. Your child's going to have problems. You keep them out of church, and they have a lack of knowledge, they have a lack of wisdom, understanding. They don't have a fear of God in their life. If your child doesn't have a fear of God in their life, there's a price for that. There's a price for it. There's a price for being a fool. And they're going to make some decisions, and they're going to be messed up. One, their punishment. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. There's punishment to the proud. Proverbs 16. Look at verse 5. 16:5, the Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joining hand, he shall not be unpunished. You know what? A proud person is going to get punished. And Proverbs 14:3, that's a connection there to show you that the Bible says a famine. Proverbs 17:5, you're going to be punished. When you're laughing at somebody else that's going through a problem, that's going through messes, and you see fools, they just think it's funny when somebody else goes through something. And when you do, you know what the Bible says? Proverbs 19:13, it shows that a fool is a calamity. A fool is a calamity. So that's the connection. So there's punishment that comes with that. There's punishment for liars. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. So liars get punished. Well, according to verse Proverbs 10:18, a fool is a liar. Alright, so if you raise a fool, they're going to get punished because they're a liar. Look at Proverbs 19:19. The Bible says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Hold your place there. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, real quick. Verse 16. The fool's wrath is presently known. But a prudent man covers sin. You know, a fool of God, he's got wrath. And the Bible says in Proverbs 19:19, it says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must be to him. And God says, they keep getting punished, and keep getting punished, and keep getting punished. Is that what you want to raise? Is that what you want to be? Is that what you want to be like? Somebody that's just constantly getting punished because of wrath? A fool has wrath. He's got anger. Look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 to verse 18. wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger, so that wrath there is talking about anger. All right? So he says, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. So wrath and anger is connected, and you look at today, and people have problems with anger issues. Why? Because they're fools. You know what they're going to get? They're going to constantly get punished. Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 3, the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but what? The simple pass on and are punished. All right, look at, go to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Chapter 9, the simple people get punished. They get punished because they're simple-minded. All right, who's simple-minded? Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. Look what it says. She is simple and knoweth nothing. That's a problem. You know what's going to happen? She's going to get punished. The punishment comes from being simple-minded. And then there's affliction. Look at Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107, affliction. Affliction is going to come to a fool. What's the price of being a fool? Punishment and affliction. Look at Psalm 107. Look at verse 17. 107:17. The Bible says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. They're afflicted. So what does this mean? The point is this. You raise a fool, and you're a prophet. And that's what they're going to live with their whole life, because that's the way they're going to act, and because that punishment is what they're going to get. And if we act like that, that's what we got. And that's why it's so important to get the book of Proverbs, to get that wisdom, to get that knowledge, to get that wisdom. That's why you keep them in church. That's why you talk to them. The Bible talks over there in Deuteronomy. You talk about it all day long. In the morning, in the evening, you put it on your doorpost, you put it out, you talk about scripture, you talk about those things, you're raising your children, you're telling them, look, don't be an angry child. This is what happens to an angry child. Learn how to control yourself. You give them those instructions. You give it to them. You make sure that they're getting that. And then if you do that thing, then what happens is, over there in 1 Peter chapter 4, where he says, God says, don't suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. You know what begins to happen? You don't suffer that. Why? Because you're wise instead of being a fool. All right, here we go.